Five, a science fiction serial in seven parts by Victor Pemberton, with Morris Denham and Roger Delgado. The Slide, Episode 5, Danger Point. Janet Marshall has disappeared from her room at Redlow Hospital. In the darkness of the old Dutch mill on the banks of the River Holly, Mrs. Luke and Dr. Richards find the girl crouching by a wall. Desperately, they struggle to get her out into the open air.
Take her other arm, Mrs. Luke. That's it.
Thank heaven for the fresh air. I thought I was going to suffocate in there. Hadn't we better see if we can get hold of someone right away, Dr. Richards, before the mud gets a grip down there?
Janet, darling, listen to me. What were you doing down there by the landing stage? Tell me.
You shouldn't have come. You should have left me.
Janet, that mud was seeping through the wall. In just a few minutes, you'd have... What were you doing, crouching all alone in the dark? Won't you talk to me?
There's nothing to talk about.
I want to help you.
I don't need your help. Nobody's help.
Why did you leave the hospital like that?
I couldn't bear it any longer. I couldn't bear it.
But in the middle of the night?
It was the best time. The only time. I didn't want to go through another day with all those people coming in and out and staring at me as though I was some sort of caged animal.
Look, it's not safe for you to be wandering around on your own in the middle of the night. Darling, you're ill.
Stop saying that. How many more times have I got to tell you that I am not ill? I just want to be left alone, that's all.
Janet, what happened to all those other people?
I don't know what you're talking about. What other people?
I want to know. Seven patients disappeared from the ward next to your room at the hospital, and all at exactly the same time. Now, what's happened to them? Oh, look, darling, if you know where they are, you've got to tell me. We've had half the county constabulary out looking for them all day. Their relatives are going half out of their minds.
I'm sorry.
Mrs. Luke.
Yes?
Can you drive?
Why, yes, not for years, though. I have a bicycle.
Will you take my car and drive Miss Marshall straight back to the hospital?
No,
if you ask for Dr. Robeson, he'll know what to do.
No, I'm not going back to that place, not ever.
Now, listen, Janet. If you think anything of me, anything at all, you'll do as I tell you. We'll go back to that hospital and let them take care of you. If you don't, well, it's up to you.
It's 11 o'clock. What are you going to do, Doctor?
Oh, they're so busy trying to get rid of the mud on the other side of the town, nobody seems to know it's over here as well. The sooner somebody does, the better. I'm going to see if I can get hold of the inspector.
He said something about them going to seal the Holly Crag caves with explosives at about 11:30.
Oh, I'll just about make it. I'll call the hospital and tell them you're on your way over. You can meet me there.
Right.
Sure you can cope.
Perfectly.
Now, Janet, don't let me down, please. See you.
Are you ready, my dear? Now, we're not going to be silly about this, are we? You'll find I'm just as determined as you are. Right then, give me your hand. Wait a minute. What have you got there?
No.
Let me see. Oh, Miss Marshall. How could you? A little sparrow. A poor, dead little sparrow.
Keep here, Lord Ross! Keep here, Lord Ross! Right. As soon as the dust clears, take a few of your blokes around the back of the crag, Sergeant Johnson.
Very good, sir.
Make sure there's no mud coming out anywhere. I want this place sealed in once and for all, okay?
Right you are, sir.
Inspector, can't you get some of your people down to that mill? I'm scared it's going to start flowing out any minute.
I'm sorry, Doctor. There's nothing I can do till I've got this mess cleared up.
But
if we don't get those caves sealed now, there'll be no holding them up.
Can't you get any more help?
I've got half my blokes here, the other half down in Holly Mill Lane, and most of them haven't had a wink of sleep in 24 hours. That makes five overflows now.
Five?
Yeah. Apart from the lane, the mill, and here, there's one just at the back of the Regal Cinema.
But that's practically inside the town. There's a main shopping area.
I know. They had to clear the cinema during the last performance tonight, just in case.
Well, where's the other?
Center Heights.
What? The new apartment block?
Yep. It's about a 25-yard gap in the lawns at the back, right alongside the fountain. It's happening, Doc. I tell you, it's all happening.
Oh, for heaven's sake, sister, what do you mean she's not arrived?
Well,
I left her with Mrs. Luke over an hour ago. They were coming straight here to the hospital.
I'm sorry, Dr. Richards. I gave strict instructions to the porter on the gate to bring them up as soon as they were here, but so far there's been absolutely no sign of them at all.
All right, sister, thank you. You can leave it with me now.
Yes, Doctor.
Ken, would you come into my room for a minute?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Now, look, Ken, something's got to be done about this.
What do you mean?
I mean Janet. As soon as we get her back here, she must go to psychiatry.
Oh, don't talk nonsense, Michael.
I'm telling you, she'll have to.
Look, Janet's as sane as you or I.
Are you sure?
Let's stake my reputation on it.
Have you any idea why she kept herself in a darkened room all the time she was here?
Well, no.
To your knowledge, you're sure she's never had treatment?
If you mean psychiatric, the answer's no.
Not necessarily psychiatric. Ken, have you ever thought about hypnotism?
Hypnotism? What are you talking about?
Well, you remember old Dr. Luther?
Oh, wasn't he the old boy who was always plugging the use of hypnotic treatment in asthmatic disease?
That's the man.
Why?
Just that I went to a few of his lectures. Most of it was a lot of old bunkum, I thought, but one or two of the practical demonstrations were quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One of his experiments was putting his patients to sleep, making them open their eyes, and then convincing them that the light was too strong for them, even though they were in a darkened area.
But she's never seen a hypnotist in her life. She's had no reason to. And even if she had, she'd have told me.
No asthma, bronchitis, no...
Michael, I tell you, if she had, she certainly wouldn't have turned to hypnotism. It's not like her.
Perhaps you're right. Let's hope when we find her, we'll be able to prove otherwise. But it is an interesting thought, isn't it?
County Constabulary.
Police? Is that the police?
Yes, madam. Can I help you?
Come quickly. You've got to come quickly.
Where are you, madam? Look at the number of your telephone. Just tell me where you are.
It's the crossroads. The box at the crossroads.
Which crossroads?
Near the mill, the river.
Oh, I've got it. Are you hurt? It'll only take us 5 minutes to get there.
Well, I'm all right. Just hurry. As soon as you can. There's been an accident.
Inspector, how long do you think you can hold the mud back in this sector? And look, is it possible to erect some kind of barricade near the wall of the cinema?
Well, it's possible, all right, sir, but it won't do no good. We put up solid concrete blocks in Mr. Wilson's farmhouse, but they just topple over like a pile of matchboxes. The house doesn't stand a chance now. It's surrounded on all sides. The foundation will never take the strain.
Well, I've already spoken to the town council. They've agreed not to wait for Mr. Devereux any longer.
Why? Why is there this change of substance during the day, Robert? You know, I feel the answer is so close. It's staring us right in the face.
Professor.
What is it, John?
There seems to be more rock salt here than in any of the other overflows. But again, these thin green streaks, they mean something. I know they mean something.
Five fissures in 4 days. And in that time, the mud has progressed in Holly Mill Lane alone at the rate of over a quarter of a mile each night.
Mm.
You both realize, don't you? These new overflows could penetrate the main thoroughfares of the town within a matter of hours.
Inspector, yes. I don't care what you do or who you get, but it's imperative you spare no effort to seal these last overflows before they extend any further into the town limits. If necessary, get every man, woman, and child out of here.
I'm beginning to think some people forget that I'm just a policeman around here.
Great Scott, what's that?
It sounds like St. Hyde's way. Excuse me, gentlemen. Sarge! Sarge!
Look! There's a great pall of smoke over there, whatever it is.
Professor!
What? Professor! Mrs. Devereux?
Professor, I need your help. My husband...
What's happened?
He's called a press conference at the town hall for 5:00.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
Well, he has absolutely no authority to do so. I'm terrified of what he's going to say.
Look, Mrs. Devereux, Redlow is full of reporters and journalists. I don't see what he can possibly tell them that they don't already know.
Professor, would you say the destruction of this town is inevitable? Because that's what my husband thinks. And that's what he's going to tell the press at his meeting this afternoon.
In front of you, gentlemen, at the side of me here on the platform, you see a scale model of a town. A town greatly revered by my colleagues and friends on the town council and everywhere else. And you, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about it? Do these gleaming white skyscrapers thrill you? Inspire you? Excite your emotions? Because here it is, a towering tribute to man's determination to create. By now, you are familiar with the events of the past few days, which have brought so many of you hurrying from the far corners of the globe. But now, why is that? Is it because you really believe nature has struck a cruel blow against this small corner of the English countryside? Paralyzed the daily routine? A way of life that has continued for countless generations? Or can it be that somewhere inside each one of you, there are more decisive questions yearning for an answer?
Somebody do something. We can't let him go on like this.
No. Wait a few minutes. I want to hear what he's going to say.
Now, most of you people here today have described in your newspapers what has happened down here as an evil freak of nature. But my friends, I can assure you it is not. Whatever evil there is in ourselves. Have none of you ever tried to find a way out of stagnation? Tried to find a new way of life, a new way of thinking, a better way? Well, I have. I have. The world, ladies and gentlemen, is on the brink of a new and exciting existence. Soon the circle will be broken. The flower will wither. Death is not something to be feared. It is not finality. Death is not finality.
The man's right off his head.
I wonder.
We'll see if we can get down nearer the front. Follow me.
We may look to the stars, ladies and gentlemen, but it won't do any good. Our hope for the future is right here on Earth. We don't have to be scared of dark anymore. Darkness is the new giver of life. The darkness. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because the sun, ladies and gentlemen, is no longer the creator.
It's all right now, Mrs. Hilke.
Miss Marshall must have been mad or something. She could have killed both of us. Doctor, I'm telling you, she went quite berserk like a wild animal.
Just try and remember exactly what happened. Now, why did she suddenly go like that? Was it something you said?
No. For most of the time, she sat in the front seat of the side of me, just staring dead in front of her at the road. Every so often, I could see her face reflected in the wing mirror, all white and drawn. And her eyes, they were so determined.
Tell me how the accident happened.
Well, it was those two stupid old people. They seemed to spring out from nowhere, right out of the darkness. Before I could do anything, that wretched girl had grabbed hold of the steering wheel, and we were going straight for them. There was nothing I could do. She was far too strong for me. But then, it was quite extraordinary. Just as we were about to hit them, she screamed out and swerved the car right off the road. We ended up at the bottom of the incline, glass everywhere. I don't know how we weren't killed.
What happened then?
I suppose I must have blacked out for a few minutes. But I do remember seeing that girl scrambling up the grass verge with the two old people. Where they went from there, I don't know.
Sister, could either of these two old people be from the hospital here?
I don't know, Doctor. There are so many of them missing now, it's hard to keep track.
It was so awful to see the three of them all standing on the road at the top, just staring down at me. Do you know, I really think they were wishing me dead.
Mrs. Luke, have you any idea in which direction Janet went? Was it back towards town?
I've told you, I don't know. I feel so guilty to have let you down like this. You should never have trusted me with her. She's a very sick girl, Doctor.
Yes, I know.
To think of her wandering around the countryside all alone like that in the dark and then hiding in disused buildings, carrying those poor little creatures about with her.
Creatures?
Yes. Soon after you left us, I found she was holding on to a poor, dead little bird.
What?
A little sparrow. When I tried to take it away from her, she just pushed me aside and threw it into the river. I think even you'll have to agree, Doctor, it's only a warped mind that wants to do things like that. A very warped mind indeed.
Mr. Devereaux, sir.
Yes, your question.
I'd like to ask you why Redlow has still not been declared a disaster area.
Yes.
Surely an appeal to the Prime Minister is well overdue.
We are perfectly capable of dealing with our own problems in our own time.
But the situation's getting out of hand. You can't possibly deny the implications
of that. Implications, sir? What implications?
Mr. Devereaux.
Hasn't anyone bothered to tell you? People are already being evacuated from their homes in four different areas of the town.
Do they have to wait until it reaches your home before something is done?
Why are you blind? Why are you all so blind? For the first time. The first time. You are privileged to witness a new evolution. A turning point in the history of mankind. I implore you not to scorn it. Do not regard the mud as your enemy. It is our salvation.
That is just where you're wrong, Mr. Devereaux. In the interest of public safety, ladies and gentlemen, I beg you to disregard anything you've heard from this man during the course of the last hour. All you, ladies and gentlemen, gathered here, are well acquainted with the innumerable natural disorders which frequently ravage the surface of this earth. But now I ask you to consider this. What kind of disorder is it that can produce tremors, fissures, and a discharge of an unidentified substance in an area which is generally accepted by us all to be outside the seismic belt? How great our danger is, I will let you decide. I will ask nothing of you, other than you listen to the latest evidence at our disposal.
No, don't listen to these men. They bring you nothing but lies.
It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's up to you.
Let them speak. Let's hear them.
Very well. Professor Gomez and Professor Lippitt, will you come up here, please?
There's still a few people in the top flat. Probably the lift cut out soon after the fire broke out. I'm afraid there's not going to be much left of center heights after this.
That ain't Star. Anybody know?
A couple of the portals smelt the fumes. Unfortunately, the generator blew out just as they got there.
The generator? So it was an electrical failure.
Yes, the whole building was blacked out from top to bottom. That blasted stuff.
What are you talking about? What stuff?
Well, the mud.
The mud?
In the basement. It was full of it. Over a foot deep. The fire boys nearly out of fit when they saw it.
Inspector! Inspector, we need you at the Wilsons.
What, Tug Wilson? What's up?
He's barricaded himself inside the farmhouse.
What?
Him and his missus. We thought we'd give him a hand to move some of his stuff out, but every time you get anywhere near the place, he takes a pot shot at you.
What do you mean, Tug and his missus firing at you?
You just come down there and try poking your head out. But both of them have got a couple of 303s. And I'll tell you this, if somebody don't get him out of there in the next half hour or so, that mud's going to be on the move again. And the mud's already pressing against every wall of that house. Every single wall.
Ladies and gentlemen, for many years, we scientists, we've struggled to understand why the earth begins to shake, to tremble, to open out into great chasms. We have tried to discover what great energies they are that clash beneath the surface of this great crust we walk upon. But as Professor Landers has told you, the one thing we have known until now is that such disturbances have nearly always been confined to those areas of the world which we refer to as the seismic belt. Now, let us for the moment disregard the fact that the British Isles are outside the normal seismic belt. Then, let us try to find out why the situation which has developed here is such a critical one. Now, in front of you, ladies and gentlemen, you see a scale model of Redlaw New Town. The first fissure, that is to say, the first fracture in the soil's crust, appeared here, the area known as Hollymill Lane. Then here, 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 and here. Five distinct fractures, not all in one place. But, ladies and gentlemen, look at the model and see for yourselves the almost perfectly symmetrical pattern, the circle formed around the town.
Professor, are you trying to tell us there is some kind of significance in the positioning of these fissures?
Sir, the overflow of this substance, which we have come to think of as mud, I must tell you now, I firmly believe to be a dangerous threat to us all. This mud, ladies and gentlemen, is a killer. Now, please. And now, for all we know, it may have been lying in the bowels of the earth for thousands of years. But I can tell you that my own investigations have proved that the mud was unable to find an outlet on the seabed of the English Channel. Now, It has found that outlet here. And I am convinced that it intends to hold on to it at all costs. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt this mud has the intelligence to do so.
Please, your question, Peter. Please, Editor.
Professor Gomez, I'd like to ask you, sir, what theories you have as to the cause of these disruptions. Would you rule out the possibility of nuclear testing, for instance?
No, sir, I would not.
Oh, come, Professor. You must forgive my saying, but your past sympathies with the so-called pacifist-inclined groups is well known to all. This is hardly the platform for a nuclear disarmament campaign. Be honest with us, sir. Can you really expect us to believe that a geological substance is capable of determining its own movements?
No. No, I can't expect you to believe that. I can't expect anyone to. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to listen to my colleague, Professor Lippert.
Our samples, ladies and gentlemen, were taken from the overflows of fissures in both Holly Mill Lane and the Holly Crag Caves. Their appearance remained green and slimy, rather like the discharge from a snail or slug, except for periods during the day when they reverted back to a solid block formation. A microscopic examination at first showed nothing except the presence of small particles of rock salt. It was not until a later stage that we realized the specimen was multiplying itself at a tremendous rate every few seconds.
Multiplying? How could it possibly do that, Professor?
My analysis of the samples proved beyond the shadow of a doubt the existence in the mud of living organisms.
Living organisms?
My colleagues and I have come to the conclusion that the mud is a single living thing. And capable of an acid-like destruction of anything or anybody it comes into contact with.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, man, do you realize what you're saying?
Ladies and gentlemen, the mud is a living thing containing an unmistakable heartbeat, which we have measured at the rate of 72 per minute, and that, my friend, I'm sure you will know, is comparable to that of any adult human being.
But if this is true, this surrounding of Redlow could be the first step towards the ultimate destruction of this town.
Not only this town, my friend. Remember this. Every minute we allow this monster to exist, it doubles and perhaps even trebles its strength. Time is against us, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. Either we find a way to destroy it now, or we'll let it destroy us completely and irrevocably.
I should keep you on cover if I was you, Inspector. I'll Wilson blast your head off if you're not careful.
How much longer have we got?
I shouldn't imagine more than a few minutes at the most. The top of the mud's already got a shine on it. That's a sure sign it's beginning to soften up.
Inspector.
A vicar? What are you doing here, sir?
I want to speak to the Wilsons. Will you let me pass, please?
It's no use. There's nothing you can do for them now.
Mr. and Mrs. Wilson are my parishioners. They're church-going folk. I'm sure they'll listen to me.
You put one foot out there, sir, and they'll blow your head off. Believe me.
I've got to try. I have to. Please. Please.
You? Hello, darling. Don't you staring at the model like that. It won't help. Everyone's gone. Come on. I've got the car outside. Let's go home.
Have no home.
Oh, you. Why did you do it? What made you say all those things? Your whole dream, everything you ever fought for, all gone just in a few minutes. Why, darling?
Look at it. My town. My dream.
You made it a reality. You should be proud.
Proud? Proud to have been a part of man's plans for ruthless corruption, is that it?
Corruption?
Corruption, expansion, domination, call it what you like. An attempt to deny nature its very right to exist. You think I'm proud of that? Proud to be an accomplice to evil?
You stop talking about
that. Yes, you wanted me to create this, didn't you? You encouraged me when it's no good. It's no good. Only nature has the right to create. Only she has the power to stop us from exploiting corruption and evil.
What you say?
The earth was created for and by nature. When are you going to realize that?
You let go of my arm. You're hurting me.
They think they know, but they don't, none of them. When the darkness comes, they won't be able to shield behind the sun anymore.
You! What are you doing with that stick? For God's sake, put it down!
Not any more!
What have you done? The model, you destroyed the model.
Something I should have done a long time ago. And it's still not too late. Not too late!
Mr. Wilson, can you hear me?
Get out of there, Vicar. This has nothing to do with you.
For heaven's sake, man, use your senses. The mud is already beginning to soften. Leave your farmhouse before it's too late.
Nobody takes away what belongs to me.
But don't you understand? You're endangering your life. Those walls won't be able to take the strain for much longer.
Don't listen to him, Tug. He's just trying to trick us. He's no different to the rest of them. Go back to your church, Vicar. Tell them some of your lies. You don't mean nothing to us now. Go back.
Please, Mrs. Wilson. I beg of you both. Your house will be rebuilt. Don't sacrifice yourselves for an unworthy cause. Don't abandon your faith. Everything you've ever believed in. We'll help you. I promise we'll help you.
Give me that rifle.
No, don't. Oh, you fool. What are you trying to do? Kill him or something?
Don't abandon.
Don't you ever try that again. We're not murderers.
Oh, you're a fool, Tug Wilson. Don't you think I can see through his lies and his promises? It's always been like that, and it always will, whilst we let it.
He's always been a good friend to us. Perhaps he's right. Perhaps we are causing a lot of misery for no reason.
No reason? This is our house, Tug. We built it, you and me, with our own bare hands.
But if it's true what they say, if it is dangerous...
Oh, dangerous?
I don't want to take no chances. And I can't bear being locked away like this. It's so hot here, I feel stifled.
It's not so bad, is it, love? At least we're together. That's what you always wanted, isn't it?
What's that?
It's nothing. Don't worry, love.
There's a ceiling. Look, it's shaking.
It's all right, love. This is what we've been waiting for, you and me, all our lives. This is just a start. Don't it make you feel good, my love? Don't it make you feel good?
The walls. It's all going to cave in on us. We've got to get out of here quick.
We've beaten them now, Tuck. You and me, we've beaten a lot of them. Put your arms around me. Come to me.
No, I'm suffocating, I tell you. I've got arms of air. Help! Somebody help us. Help!
Hold on to me, Tuck. Hold on. And we'll never be parted again.
That was episode 5 of The Slide by Victor Pemberton, with Morris Denham as Hugh Deverell, MP, and Roger Delgado as Joseph Gomez. The part of Professor Landers was played by Rolf Lefevre, Dr. Ken Richard by David Spencer, Anna Deverell by Marion Mathy, and Professor Lippert by Alan McClelland. Inspector Baxter, Jeffrey Matthews, Mrs. Luke Noel Hood, Janet Marshall, Elizabeth Proud, Sergeant Johnson, Wilfred Babbage, Nursing Sister Eva Haddon, Tug Wilson, Stephen Jack, Mrs. Wilson, Miriam Margulies. Other parts were played by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company. Special sound was by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, and the recorded production was by John Tideman.